Caution: the contents of this podcast may be historical, but they're still served piping hot. We're brewing up the classics here on the Coffee House Classical Music Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Coffee House Classical Music Podcast. My name is Asa.
And I'm Allison.
Today we're offering up another instrument bio, and we've looked at quite a few different types of instruments in the past, such as violins, French horns, clarinet, and most recently, the theremin.
Today we're looking at another more unusual instrument that you usually won't find in the standard orchestra setting, and that is the harmonica. So let's get right into it.
So in modern times, you probably associate the harmonica with blues and folk music. However, as you can hear in the background music, some virtuosic players have endeavored to make the harmonica more standard within the classical canon. In fact, Vaughan Williams composed an entire romance for harmonica in 1951, and Heitor Villa-Lobos wrote an entire harmonica concerto in 1955.
But that's not where the story of the harmonica starts. For that, we actually need to travel back to China to around the year 3000 BC. This is perhaps the first instance of an instrument that features free reeds that is called the sheng. So if you'll remember back to our bagpipe episode, it's a very similar principle to that, where the reed is nestled within a pipe and the player blows air through many, many pipes all at once. Now, it's different than, of course, the clarinet or other orchestral reed instrument where the player's mouth is directly forcing air through the reed and the mouthpiece at the same time.
And that's why these are called free reeds.
Yes, because they're just floating out in space.
Well, in a tube.
So, back to the sheng in China, though. Looking at this instrument, it looks a little bit like a miniature pipe organ, as there's a ring of different size pipes all connected together at the base, and there is just the single mouthpiece that the player blows through. To make the notes sound, the player closes off different finger holes, which thus allows that air to actually flow up the pipe, sounding the reed.
In the 1800s, the sheng, or perhaps some other similar free reed instrument based on the sheng, was brought to Germany. And from there, it fell into the hands of an instrument maker named Christian Friedrich Bussmann. He created an instrument called the ora, great name, that allowed notes to be played by blowing across a reed plate. But it didn't last too long, as it was a bit difficult to play compared to what came next. That's right, next was the actual harmonica. It was created by Josef Richter in 1826, and he dubbed this the mouth organ. It featured two sets of metal reeds, which allowed the notes to be sounded both by inhaling or exhaling through the instrument, and more on this later.
The ability to play notes on the blow or the draw, the in or the out breath, made it much easier to play. Interesting, this mouth organ became a bit of a fashion accessory at the time. It could be worn as a bracelet, actually. And most likely it could then be quickly deployed at parties to entertain or perhaps annoy fellow guests.
Deploy the mouth organ.
Do you want to be that guy at the party? The final step finally came when two clockmakers, Christian Messner and Christian Weiss, began mass producing harmonicas, thus making them very available and cost effective. Around this time as well, a businessman, Matthias Honer, who also happened to be a clockmaker, who was acquainted with Messner and Weiss, made some great business decisions and came out on top as the best and most efficient harmonica maker. The Honer brand is still a top seller to this day.
The harmonica has remained a fairly accessible instrument throughout its history as well, because a good quality harmonica can be purchased relatively cheaply. Although there are some that can get pricey. It's also very easy to play. For the most part, a gentle airstream can make the reeds sound, and because of the tuning, which we'll get into shortly, you can't really play a wrong note. However, as the people on the internet have assured me on numerous websites, It does take years to truly master the harmonica, but you could learn in a matter of months if you just purchase my harmonica training course.
Yes, the internet is full of harmonica lessons behind a paywall. It seems that any great harmonica player out there has their hand on the ball to give expert lessons. That being said, you could probably master this on your own.
So then, what makes the harmonica easy to play but difficult to master? First, there is the issue of what harmonica to even start with. In general, all harmonicas are built in the same structure. Two sets of metal reed plates and wood or plastic comb that directs air over the individual reeds, and two metal outer plates to hold it together. These two reed plates are positioned opposite to each other so that one will vibrate when air is being blown out of the mouth, and the other will vibrate when air is being drawn into the mouth.
There are three types of harmonica, though: the diatonic, the tremolo, and the chromatic. The most common that you'll find is the diatonic. They are called diatonic because the notes that can be produced are all of the individual diatonic scale that they are written in. For example, a C diatonic harmonica only features notes of the C major, or rather C diatonic, scale, meaning no sharps or flats. So while this may seem restrictive, these types of harmonicas are quite versatile, especially for a blues player. There is the possibility to get the sharp and flat notes by either bending or overblowing, so essentially using different air streams to produce different harmonics, or just out of tuneness on the reeds. In the blues as well, a player will often pick to play on a harmonica that's actually in a different key than what the piece is written in, so-called cross harp. And this is because the blues scale often has sharp and flat notes that fall into keys a fifth away from the home key. For example, it's easy to play G blues on a C harmonica rather than just having to alter a bunch of notes from G major.
And of course, these diatonic harmonicas are often very inexpensive. You can get a good quality diatonic harmonica for less than $30.
A steal.
It really is. There is also the tremolo harmonica. This is not used as often because it doesn't allow as much freedom for bending notes, so it's much more limited than a traditional diatonic harmonica. What it does do is have two reeds for each note being played, and one is slightly out of tune. And these slightly different pitches being played next to each other creates this beating or a phasing tremolo sort of effect. The same sound that you would get when you're trying to tune your section in a band, for example. Just before you come into tune, it's that same beating. But this, of course, is intentional. It can be nice in certain circumstances, but apparently it's just not the favored choice.
And finally, there is the chromatic harmonica. And this is the most versatile, but perhaps most difficult to play out of all the harmonicas, because it is essentially a C major and a C sharp major diatonic harmonica, both of them slapped together so that all of the notes of the chromatic scale are available in one instrument.
There is a little button on the side of a chromatic harmonica that shifts between these two chromatic plates, so you really have to know your scales to know when to deploy this button. The nature of the build of this harmonica doesn't allow for bending notes as much, but in theory, you shouldn't have to if the chromatic button is used correctly. Famously, Stevie Wonder plays on a chromatic harmonica for many of his solos, and these can get kind of expensive sometimes due to the more complex nature of the chromatic harmonica's build.
So with that, we hope that we have armed you with the knowledge that you need to tell others about the wonderfully simple yet challenging harmonica.
Kind of a shorter episode today, but we really like exploring these sort of offbeat topics. And if you get a chance, listen to the classical canon harmonica that we talked about earlier, especially Vaughan Williams' entire Romance for Harmonica, a grand departure from something like the C Symphony, for example, in a wonderful way.
You gotta have diversity in your catalog.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you liked this little jaunt away and are excited to hear more, Go ahead and follow us, stick around on Spotify, Google Play Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, and let somebody else know that there's harmonica content here as well. We're not just the stuffy, classical people.
Or you know what you could do? Go out, buy yourself a cheap harmonica.
Oh, yes.
Go tell the people on the street through song.
Through song. They will love that. Everybody loves a harmonica.
Just as much as they love a bagpipe.
And just as much
and a theremin. Oh my gosh, get a whole band together of weird instruments.
And they love that harmonica just as much as we love this podcast. So thank you so much for listening.
That makes it sound like we don't love it.
We do. Well, until the next time when we join you with the harmonicas in hand, I'm Asa.
And I'm Allison. Thank you so much for listening.
Au Coeur du Jour by Jean-Francais Marcot was performed by Sir Starkwest and Lada Steffes. You can find the Coffee House on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Facebook at the Coffee House Classical Podcast and Instagram at Podcast Coffee House. Email us at coffeehouseclassical@gmail.com.